Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in.
Being that we're heading into a podcast talking about back pain when walking long distance, you can bet that we're going to mention footwear and what we have on our feet and how that impacts how we walk, how we stand, how we move about our day. And that is why Jen and I are such big believers in Vivo Barefoot and how using a barefoot shoe that has a zero drop profile that actually has the flexibility to allow our feet to move and operate the way that they should and are thin enough to allow our feet to feel the ground. We are such believers in how that impacts our overall health. If you've never tried Vivo Barefoot shoes, we're heading into winter. It may already be snowing where you're at right now. I know it has been snowing in Minnesota already. So go check out Vivo Barefoot because they have options for all weathers. They have all weather terrain boots that can be good for the winter and the snow. And if you aren't somewhere that snows, that's great. They have all options for that too. They have options for the beach. So go check out Vivo. Get yourself in a pair of shoes where you can really feel how that barefoot profile can affect the way you move, affect the way you feel the ground, and affect your overall health. Our code is Optimal. There's also a link down in the show notes that you can follow, and it has the code on it to get 15% off your pair of Vivo Barefoot shoes. There's always a 100-day risk-free trial where you can try them out. And if you're not completely convinced, you can send them back and get a full refund. So go check out that link in the show notes. Make sure you use code OPTIMAL at checkout to get 15% off.
We've had a code change. So make sure you use code TOB so that you get 15% off. That is TOB, like the Optimal Body Podcast. Why do I get low back pain when walking? That is a common question that we often have seen and received. So we want to dive into why that might happen and what you can really do about it. Now, we have to always, I think, back out and say that low back pain is so complex. Mm-hmm. We've done multiple episodes on low back pain and, you know, different diagnoses, different reasons that there's so many different diagnoses we haven't even hit on for low back pain because it's just so complex. But in general, when we're talking about like this chronic or recurrent low back pain, especially when I'm walking, I think those are that's the main thing we want to kind of address today.
And I think when people hear like getting low back pain while walking, it is something that tends to be more on the chronic side because we walk so much. Yeah. It's one of the activities we do most and most repetitively in our life. So if you're starting to notice that you're getting low back pain while you're walking, it's probably not something that just happened one day because of an acute injury. It could be, but likely it's because of this. Something is going on with how we move consistently, the repetitive patterns in our life that have started to kind of perpetuate us towards this process of having back pain while we walk.
Mm-hmm. And it's so complex because there's so many more reasons beyond just the physical that we'll talk about today that you can be experiencing low back pain in your life. And we've hit on some of these, you know, so let's just briefly mention. You know, you can get an onset or an increase of low back pain if you have a lot of stress going on in your life, if you're not sleeping enough, if you're not taking care of just like your mental and physical health on a whole, not even talking about like breaking down the physicality of it, but just, you know, am I getting enough sleep? Am I hydrating? Am I putting good nutrients in my body on a continual basis? You know, all of those things play a role in what we feel, especially in the low back.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the things that we talk about with pain a lot, especially in a persistent or chronic type of pain. It all has to do, or a lot of it has to do with our nervous system and how on edge our nervous system is, especially in those areas where we're getting pain, like the low back. So a very stressful day, eating a lot of junk that is very inflammatory or that might increase the amount of work our body needs to do, that can push us more towards feeling pain or increase our pain in general. And like you said, it has nothing to do with the physical stuff we're doing, but just the mental, emotional, nutritional, all of those categories also can contribute to pain. So we're not going to talk as much about that when it comes to the walking bit, but even, you know, with the emotional or mental state, one thing that we always need to keep in mind is fear. Especially if we have gotten back pain a lot, you know, while walking And all of a sudden we learn like, okay, we need to walk 12 blocks to a bus stop, or we're going from point A to point B and we know that there's a distance we have to walk. That could start to make us anxious just thinking about needing to walk that amount of distance. Oh, I'm going to need a stop. I'm going to need to sit down because my back is going to be hurting. That in itself can start to elevate that system, elevate the amount of input that we're putting into those muscles, and they might already start to be grabbing on to guard, to protect, which then will kind of perpetuate us more into this back pain itself.
Exactly. That's the one thing I was going to go into next, because the one thing that we continue to see through research that kind of increase, I mean, one of the most popular reasons we kind of get back pain with walking is that increased stiffness. And that directly can be related to stress, to that fear response. I mean, just think about it, right? And I always talk about this. Someone scares you, what is the first thing that you do? You like take a deep breath in, everything gets really stiff and you pull like your limbs toward you to kind of protect. So that is that mechanism that happens within the brain. Your brain says, I need to protect you. So if you already start thinking of that walk as being something that you're dreading, well, then your brain is saying, oh no, I need to protect you from something. So it already starts to stiffen up those muscles. And that stiff trunk kind of leads us to alter our mechanics even when we're moving. And so we get this less kind of distribution of this natural trunk movement from our trunk down into our pelvis, and it creates more tightness and contraction overall, which is just feeding more of our brain into those receptors, telling us we need to be tense and tight and stiffening up, and can elicit that pain response.
And that's the other thing that we need to think about when it comes to how this process has developed, you know.
Yeah.
Most of us walk from the time we're about 1 year old. And again, this isn't just something that is like an immediate onset. And I mean, it's almost like a chicken or the egg thing. Mm-hmm. Did I start walking in a certain way that loaded my body slightly differently that ended up resulting in me feeling unstable or unsafe in the back and then tightening up?
Right.
Or did I have a degree of underlying back pain or back symptoms or SI type symptoms that then made me stiffen up in a certain way that then started to change the mechanics of how I walked?
Yeah.
But all of it kind of results in us walking slightly differently.
Yes.
Having less of an association or connection between how our trunk and our pelvis moves.
Yeah.
And how we're transferring that power that we generate with the legs from walking through the pelvis up into the trunk and the core, and how we naturally are supposed to kind of swing our arms while we walk. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what you were starting to say, is like most people that experience this, we see a significant reduced amount of trunk movement.
Control, yeah.
Trunk movement and trunk control. Mm-hmm. And what we call this lumbopelvic like control, or this dynamic lumbopelvic interplay, which lumbo means lumbar or low back, low trunk, and pelvis. The interplay of how they work together. Mm-hmm. And essentially they start working as separate entities.
Yeah.
And the trunk just says, okay, I don't feel safe. I'm going to need to tighten up and put some more tension into these low back muscles to have some stability and have some control and feel safe. Mm-hmm. But again, the less we move that, the more those things are going to feel like they need to protect themselves. And it kind of perpetuates down the line.
The pattern. That's where we get to go back into looking, well, you know, what came first? It doesn't really matter. But if you did have an injury, that oftentimes, especially in like the low back or even somewhere else, maybe your knee started to hurt and you started to offload that knee a little bit when you were walking, or you got hip surgery. And so you started to offload how you're kind of loading into the hip, because our body naturally wants to protect those tissues that feel damaged. And so our body will start to compensate and build a new pattern of walking. And so it's just that repetitive nature. It's kind of like when we've talked about, so we did an episode way a long time ago. I feel like this was like back in the 20s, but we did an episode on tendonitis versus tendinopathy or tendinosis, and kind of talking into these different things. But ultimately what happens with like a tendinopathy is a repetitive strain over time. And so it's kind of the same thing that's happening in our low back. It's this repetitive motion that's happening over time. And so the moment we stand up to walk, we already know, oh, this is going to hurt. It's going to cause pain because it has before. So we're perpetuating what we're saying in our mind, perpetuating what we're doing in our body from the same kind of locomotion over and over again.
Yeah.
And so we just continue to repeat the pattern. And so it's how do we start to reverse that and decrease that stiffening that's happening? Because a lot of times that stiffening leads to fatigue. Like our body's getting tired. Of course, we're going to need to sit down when we're walking. We can't sustain this stiffening all the time.
Yeah. And it's motor patterning at its finest. And it's this motor control. And so we have these programs in our body that when we walk, when we lift one leg forward, certain muscles activate and fire on one side of the body. And then when we push through that leg, they kind of flip-flop. And there's this whole neural network that tells which muscle to fire when and how they fire in order in a coordinated manner to walk successfully. And if we start walking slightly differently, like you said, whether it's an injury, whether we hurt our back and start walking slightly differently, if we do that over time, or if we do that over the course of 6 months or a year or 10 years, we're going to significantly change the motor pattern of walking in our body and how our brain tells us to fire those muscles and activate. And we actually see that in people who have persistent and chronic low back pain, that they have a very different network of how the muscles activate in their body to fire. You see a lot more activation in the low back and you see just like this slight miscoordination of firing compared to what we would see in somebody who doesn't have low back pain and how their muscles fire when they walk.
And a lot of times that, you know, what the research is kind of alluding to or what we can predict a little bit more is that, well, if I'm having more pain, you know, in or more compressive forces in an area due to increasing that stiffening and using more of those motor units within my back while I'm causing more contraction, then I must be putting more load on my spine. So they kind of contribute it to like more stiffening, more tightness causes more compressive forces on the back, which then equals more pain on the back when we walk. And that's kind of like what we can predict is kind of happening, but that's not necessarily to say that it's going to cause more damage down the road or it's going to cause, like, I don't want to start to look at or have you start to look at these things and be afraid of it, right? There's always room for us to then say, okay, how do we start to get out of that? And that's what we're going to talk about, you know? And one of the first places that we always go back to is then how do we reprogram this a little bit more variability within the trunk so that we have better control, a little looser. Like, we don't want to tell you to start to think about it to the point where you're now trying to reprogram something new, because then you're only putting more tension, more stress, more thought into those muscles, which can increase more stiffness. So we're trying to get you away from increasing stiffness, away from thinking about those muscles, and into a more regularly patterned trunk movement with that pelvis.
Yeah. And this is, I mean, we talk about this all the time, how there's this like rotational nature of our body. Mm-hmm. And even though we walk in a straight line, like our body finds a lot of its dynamic stability from that rotation. When we put one foot forward, we tend to bring the other arm and shoulder forward, or we should, because we have all these lines in our body, our oblique abdominals that are activating. And that's where we should be finding that dynamic trunk control and instilling more of that lumbopelvic relationship between our pelvis and our ribs. We should be finding that stability there rather than our body thinking that it needs to tighten up and control. Because like you said, we actually do have quite a bit of trunk, natural trunk movement when we walk, when we run, when we go upstairs. So programming that back in, like what would be some of the recommendations that you would tell people they should start with?
Yeah. So I love even just how can we start to kind of fire those oblique lines now so that they learn that they can work together. And a lot of times when we go back to reprogramming pain, we want to go back to the basics. So it's kind of starting with like isometric holds, and then we go into repetitive movements, and then we go into standing and starting to reprogram this all together. But one of, like, if we're talking about the anterior oblique line, so think of this as your obliques on one side and then your inner thigh on the other side. So if I'm laying on my back and I just lift up one of my knees and I put my hand across, right? So I'm going to activate my obliques on one side and my inner thigh on the other side, and I can hold and I can breathe, and then I can switch, hold and breathe, and then same for the back side. So say I want to get my posterior from my lat to my glute, well, then I could do a single leg bridge and just hold and push that opposite arm down, and then come down and switch and hold. And you start to reprogram how the brain is interpreting this opposite movement. And then we can start to say, okay, now how do I gain more mobility through my upper back? Maybe we've stiffened so much into that trunk that we've lost the mobility.
Yeah, I think those are two great ones to start with that you just said, like where we're pressing into our opposite knee and then doing the bridge. And then there's even a point where you could combine those two, mm-hmm. where you're doing a kind of a single leg bridge or pushing through one heel as you lift the opposite leg up and press in and press the opposite elbow back into the ground. And we'll kind of show these if you need a visual representation, yeah. on YouTube, so you can kind of watch us doing that. But then, like you said, if we've been stiff this long, we probably haven't been mobilizing or have great mobility through our upper back. So just doing some things that are going to help us get that upper back moving, even laying on your side and doing an open book exercise, mm-hmm. which is also great because that's going to help us with that rotation too. That's going to help us free up that chest and that upper back and feel, you know, a little bit of that more mobility there as we find that dynamic stability in the core between the ribs and the pelvis.
Mm-hmm. And then we can start to say, okay, how can I, you can even start doing things like standing on a single leg and then reaching your foot forward and back. And as you reach your foot forward and back, you kind of allow your trunk to kind of rotate with it. So if I'm standing on a single leg and then I'm just going to tap my right foot forward, then I'm going to reach my left arm forward toward my knee, and then I'd switch to the opposite. And you kind of get this rotation from the upper back, this stability through the pelvis because you're standing on a single leg, mm-hmm. and then you get that natural rotation through the trunk. And that's kind of a good way to start to rebuild that pelvic support so that your low back doesn't feel like it needs to do all the work. And you get that natural rotation with that. And you're working on balance. I mean, that's going to translate right into you walking and hopefully feeling something better. But that's where, again, like just an, if we're talking just physical things that can contribute to our gait pattern and what we feel when we walk, we can't neglect what's happening all the way down at our feet. Like what are we wearing all the time on our feet? Do our feet have the awareness and activation on the ground? Do they have the balance and proprioception? You know, all of that plays a role to how we're going to move then up the chain.
Yeah, proprioception, I think, is huge to bring in, and how important our feet are. We talk about all the time why we like barefoot style shoes is because you can feel the ground better. It increases that proprioception or that sense of where your body is at by allowing your feet to feel the ground. And people who have this extra stiffness in their low back, they show a significant amount of reduced proprioception through their trunk and their core. Mm-hmm. And so that's where our balance might even feel like it's affected when we're having back pain during walking. And depending on what type of footwear we're wearing, if it's not allowing our toes to extend as we roll over them, or if we have a significant heel lift, mm-hmm. all of that is going to affect things up through the chain where we'll need to compensate. If we can't get, you know, good toe extension, we might start turning our toes slightly out as we walk, which is going to change the dynamic of how we're activating through the hips, mm-hmm. which are very intimately associated with the low back. Same with a heel lift. We won't be activating our calves or our gastroc as much, which really impacts how we operate up through that posterior chain, through the glutes and through the low back. Mm-hmm. And we're going to need to compensate elsewhere if we're not utilizing the activation or pressing through those calves.
Exactly. I mean, ultimately, walking is such a dynamic posture that we're kind of working with, right? Mm-hmm. And it goes throughout our entire body, from our feet up through our hips, or up through our core, up through our trunk and beyond. So it's really a full body exercise. So if we want to start to feel something different, let's start to address all, like, everything in our body. kick off your shoes at the end of the day, put your interlace your socks between your toes, get your feet to feel something different. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's even going to play a role of just opening up the feet more so that they have more awareness to the ground. So we start to move differently through our entire body. And I know it can sound like a lot, but I think the basis to get back to is increased variability within our body. And we bring up all these other areas of the pelvis and the feet and all this other stuff because there's no one pattern of movement. Mm-hmm. There's no one pattern of a perfect gait. It all depends on the body's, on the individual structure and everything. So the more that we find variability and we have more control and awareness overall, the better that our body's going to be and not feeling like it needs to be stiff, not feeling like it needs to be in one pattern all the time, and having a little bit more play and movement to hopefully in the long run, you know, reduce those symptoms of pain.
Which is like what Jen said, if there's a time in the morning or if there's a time when you're getting home from work that you can just do one of the exercises that we just, you know, talked about, doing the just laying on your back and pressing your hands into the opposite knee and seeing how that activates through the core, getting a sense of how that feels. And also, you know, like you say, with the increased variability, if you're walking and you start to feel that low back pain creep in, change something up. Mm-hmm. How can we be a little more aware when we're walking that when that pattern starts to perpetuate, we need to start to disrupt it? So can you just pull one of your knees to your chest and like sit there for a second, or just like bend down and get a little bit of rounding in your back, or do some pelvic tilts mm-hmm. while you're standing there to just like change up that pattern, tell the muscles in the low back, okay, I'm listening to you. I understand that you're needing to find a little more variability, a little more safety feeling, mm-hmm. and change it up. Thanks for tuning in for another PT Pearl, all about that back pain while walking. If you know someone who deals with this, please consider passing it along so it can get into the hands of the people who would really benefit. If you've been enjoying the podcast, please consider leaving a rating and review on your favorite podcasting platform. And of course, we will see you next time.